This podcast is brought to you by Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. Do what I did and update your smile. Call 844-A-PERFECT-SMILE. When you change your smile, you change your life.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
It's absolutely essential that we get our kids back into classroom for in-person learning.
We want to reopen the schools. Everybody wants it. The moms want it. The dads want it. The kids want it. It's time to do it.
The president tweeted out this morning, threatening schools nationwide that he'll try to cut funding if they refuse to reopen on time.
So we're very much going to put pressure on governors and everybody else to open the schools. Open your schools in the fall.
It's great to learn because knowledge is power.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
President Trump has made clear, and it's backed by science, that it's really important to get students back into school.
I feel very strongly we need to do whatever we can to get the children back to school.
I want to make it very, very clear that the guidance that CDC continues to put out for schools K through 12 and higher is intentional for reopening and keeping our schools open. What is not the intent of CDC's guidelines is to be used as a rationale to keep schools closed.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
It's all about creating division. They literally say it on state TV. It's coming for you next.
Democratic cities are in chaos right now. Is this what you want from Joe Biden? And they're taking down the statues. And
crime is rising as they defund police.
Oh, my gosh, it's so bad.
What do Democrats have to offer us? Failed experiments like CHOP. Failed cities like Chicago, New York City, where you've had for 3 weeks a many-fold increase in shootings. This is what leftist policies have gotten us.
Unchained and unstoppable.
This guy's whole idea of America on its own.
No. Lie down before you hurt yourself.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
So last night's message from CNN was from Fredo Cuomo, and Don Lemon was, don't worry, there are no crime spikes in the big cities. Who are you going to believe? Us here on CNN or your lying eyes? You know, there's nobody being shot down in the streets in New York City, Chicago, Atlanta, Seattle, et cetera. It's Boston. Everything is hunky-dory, just fine and dandy. And, you know, those statues coming down, don't worry about those either. 844-500-4242, that is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. We have a lot planned here. Today, as always, there's a lot to get to. And if you didn't hear the news, the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, is on the verge of stopping from calling COVID-19 an epidemic because of major drop in mortality rate. It's dropped so low that CDC may soon stop calling the virus an epidemic. That was
Wait, I thought it was a pandemic. Which is it?
Well, a pandemic is a nation, is a worldwide, global. It's global. Epidemic is just nationwide. So, but don't worry. Don't worry, folks. Charlie Baker says it's still going to kill you. It's almost as bad as the mosquitoes and almost as bad as the homicide hornets that are on their way. I'm not going to play a lot of Baker cuts until the local hour, but I have to play one for the people in Maine. A couple of last week, I think it was the governor of Maine, Janet Mills, who's almost as nuts. She's crazier, really, given the fatality rate. She's crazier than even Charlie Parker. But she said the state of Maine is now open to people from New York and New Jersey and Connecticut. Those happen to be the only three states in the union that have higher death rates than Massachusetts. But Massachusetts is still shut down. So Tal Duval, Charlie Parker, claimed he didn't know about what she had announced, but he said he would call her. So today he finally got asked about that at his stupid press conference. And by the way, it was kind of nippy in the press conference. Right, Governor?
It's cold in here, isn't it?
Yeah. colder than the state economy. So anyway, let's play our Charlie Baker sound cut. Here we go. This is we have a Charlie Baker sound. People seem to be liking it. They mentioned it on my column today. Here it is.
You're enjoying your day. Everything's going your way. Then along comes Charlie Parker. Always there to tell you about a new disease, a car accident, or killer bees. The beggar to spare you, Charlie, please. But you can't stop Charlie Parker.
Charlie Parker. Okay, so this is Charlie Parker talking about his conversation with the chief executive officer of Northern Massachusetts, also known as Maine. Cut 19.
I did talk to Governor Mills in Maine, and Secretary Sutter's talked to her counterpart. I basically said I'll put my data in Massachusetts up against your data any day.
Huh?
And we had a very collegial conversation, and I think the conversation Secretary Sutter's had a lot more facts in it than the conversation that we had. What I would just say is that we have a lot of really great places to vacation, and I would encourage everybody and anybody to pursue them, and especially the folks from the states that surround us that don't have to rely on the 14-day quarantine.
Wait, he just said that his conversation didn't contain too many facts. I thought all of his actions and words were based on facts and science.
And he just said he'd stack his data up against, you know, you don't need to stack much data up, but let me give you the data. The death data per 100,000 population, Massachusetts 119 per 100,000, Maine 8. How's that for some data? You like that data? Charlie Parker? Someone, 406 says, saw a large sign on the outskirts of Windham, Maine today. It reads as follows: How Maine Spells Idiot. JANETMILLS. Got a kick out of that. Thought you might too. Yes, I do. I do get a kick out of that. 844-500-4242. I have some sad news to pass on to you, and I'd like to try not to let this destroy your faith in the veracity of all reported hate crimes in the United States of America. An Oregon politician, would you care to guess what party he's from, has confessed to penning a racist letter to himself after he initially claimed it was anonymously sent to him. Oh, no. What was the first suspicion it was a hate crime? The fact that he was a Democrat? Jonathan Lopez, who was Latino and was a recent candidate.
Did he send a picture of a noose to himself?
I'll read you the letter. Just hold your horses, Taylor. We'll get to it. He was a recent candidate for, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Umatilla or Umatilla County Commissioner, claimed he had discovered the hate-filled missive in his mailbox. His mailbox. Because people send so much hate literature through snail mail these days, right? He found it in his mailbox on June 23rd. On his now-deleted Facebook account, that's always the sign of a failed hate crime, that you delete your social media. He shared a photo of the letter, which said that Lopez and other quote-unquote Mexicans were not welcome here, according to the local TV station. Don't waste your time trying to become anything in this county. We will make sure you never win and your family suffers, along with all the other bleeping Mexicans in the area, the letter said. Here's the ironic part. Lopez wrote in his Facebook post that he holds no resentment for whomever wrote this. That was mighty nice of him. He holds no resentment against himself for writing the letter to himself. I'm simply heartbroken for the lack of knowledge, education, and respect missing. I pray for you, meaning he prays for himself, and wish you, meaning I wish me, prosperity in your, meaning my, life. When the local constabulary followed up with Lopez about the alleged incident, he confessed to writing it himself. Oh, no. And now the matter has been referred to the district attorney's office he may be charged with initiating a false report, a Class A misdemeanor in Oregon. He was just, it didn't happen, but, you know, he was trying to give a life lesson to all the bigots in Umatilla County that it could have happened. And again, his name is Jesse. His name is Bubba Lopez. Got it wrong again. His name is Jonathan Lopez.
What is his position?
He was a candidate for county commissioner out in Oregon, and he lost, oddly enough.
To himself?
Probably lost to some racist dog. Somebody who snuck up and put that nasty, hate-filled, screed, invective in his mailbox. Umatilla County is better than that. 844-500-4242. 603 says, I'm on vacation at Old Orchard Beach, and every other license plate is from Massachusetts. Well, I'm sure that they all quarantined for 2 weeks, a fortnight, as they say in the UK, before they came up to Old Orchard Beach. And I hope they get over to Ken's while they're in Old Orchard Beach. It's right up the road. I recommend it highly. 844-500-4242. 339 says that's mail fraud. Well, I don't think he put a return address on it. I guess you're only the U.S. Postal Service, though, is supposed to put matter in your mailbox. I think that could be technically a federal crime, but I don't think he's not going to be prosecuted. He's just a fool, obviously.
Why did he fold so quickly, though? I mean, what was the damning pieces of evidence? Was it written on his own letterhead?
I don't know. The stories are rather incomplete because if you were a cop and you saw some failed candidate come up with a letter like that, how long would it take you to crack the case?
Oh, anybody that comes out with a story like that, there's always a certain degree of immediate suspicion.
Right. Exactly. And I think they just said, hey, Lopez, you lost the election. Cut the bleep. I think that's what it boiled down to. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
A nightmare to liberals everywhere. He's Howie Carr.
This is Kevin from Brockton.
This is Karen from Boiling Springs, South Carolina.
This is Officer Mark calling from beautiful Stratford County, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
All right. Time now for our cheap bastard deal of the day. Let's have the music here. We got a good one coming up here. All right.
It's Howie Carr's cheap bastard deal. Sounds too good to be true.
Oh, no, it's real, and it's a steal.
You know there's plenty more when you shop at Howie's store for another Howie Carr cheap bastard deal.
Howie Carr, the cheapest bastard around.
Okay, if the public health people tell you that you have to get your office or your storefront or your restaurant sanitized before you can go back to work, or you just want to do it on your own, the best way to do it is to sanitize it. And the best way to sanitize it, not just with scrubbing, but with putting out a fog. Right now, we're offering you an AmeriClean sanitizing fogging machine treatment for your building. And this is a machine that was developed 11 years ago. This isn't a fly-by-night machine. This was developed 11 years ago during the H1N1 and SARS and all those things. And it's approved by the FDA. It's FDA registered, and it's CDC approved. So it's solid. And Pete Harris is with us now, and he's going to explain how it works. How does this machine work, Pete?
It's actually quite an amazing machine. It's a fog, which, depending upon the application, we can inject it into the intake on an HVAC system. Therefore, it will distribute it throughout the facility. And we install test strips in each room that will indicate that it's been sanitized when it turns purple, documenting the fact that it worked.
Yeah.
And it is 100%. One of the demos I have done in the past, I opened up a file cabinet drawer, put a test strip in it. We sanitized the place. The drawer was only open a half inch, and the sanitizing strip turned purple, indicating that it was clean.
And so some of the companies are offering mists, but you offer a fog. So tell people why a fog is better than a mist. I'm not kidding here. This is real stuff.
Okay. A quick analogy would be if you had a picnic table in your backyard on your patio, and it misted out overnight, and you look out in the patio in the morning, and your table's wet, and the drum below it's dry. And that's what the misting does. It also needs to leaves residues and odors.
So you don't need to clean your desk off. You don't need to worry about your laptop or a book.
Actually, if you're worried about your laptop, your book, or anything you could possibly imagine, it will get sanitized. Your keyboard, your computers, your desk, open your drawers, your pencils, your pens, your papers, anything that's exposed.
So here's the deal. We've only got 12 of these things. This is a $500 value for up to 2,000 square feet. You get it for $250. And how fast can you do this? Okay, so like I have a 2,000-foot condo now that I live in Wellesley. How long would it take you to do that?
Typically a job like that, set up fog time and breakdown, about an hour. Sometimes it can get a little more tricky depending upon the rooms and HVAC.
But so you don't have to clear out for a weekend or anything like
that?
No.
I did a funeral home. It was a half-hour fog, sanitized the whole facility. And 10 minutes after it was done, we walked back in. You couldn't smell, see, do any damage to any papers, nothing. It was done 100%, and it was 7 different rooms.
And what kind of places do you have as clients?
I'm working on some banks. I've got office space.
Funeral home.
Funeral home. The morgue, which was fun.
The morgue?
Yes.
So you got some government contracts.
Yeah. And, it's pretty amazing, though. It truly is, and how effective it is. Like I said, you know.
And they've been around, but obviously they're expanding their base of operation. This is their bull market period.
Correct.
Up to November 3rd.
Yes. Their primary function was to sanitize the operating rooms, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what this was developed for.
And so now it's expanded. Okay, so what this is a $500 value for up to 2,000 square feet. So, and it's $250, and we have 12 certificates available. Go to HowieCarshow.com, click on store, HowieCarshow.com, click on store, and you get this is the cheap bastard deal. And so if they wanted to learn more about AmeriClean Sanitizing, what's your website?
It's AmeriCleanSanitizing.com.
AmeriCleanSanitizing.com, and that explains the whole the way the machine works.
Tutorials, videos of them sanitizing medical. For example, if, say, a firehouse, someone came down with a COVID, we could go to the firehouse, open up the windows and doors of all the vehicles.
So if you're open and somebody tests positive, and again, we all know that doesn't mean they're going to die, but if they test positive, the Board of Health could give you could jam you up and say you got to shut down. So that you could just bring you in.
Come in. I stamp and date, the address, how long the fogging thing was, Bluetooth communication to my app. I simply send an email off to the agency,
Board of Health,
whomever it may be.
Right.
And they get an instant verification that the place has been sanitized.
Thank you, Pete. Check out the website, AmeriCleanSanitizing.com, HowieCarShow.com. Cheap bastard deal of the day. Check it out. I'm Howie Carr.
Have you had enough yet of the volatility of the stock markets? Down 1,000 or more points one day, up the next. Are you tired of watching that little box at the bottom of your TV screen that shows the market plunging hundreds of points? You need to get diversified with Orion Metal Exchange. You shouldn't be caught flat-footed in this roller coaster ride the stock markets have been on. No matter what the reason, the coronavirus or before that, the oil price war abroad, you always need to be diversified. And that means owning some precious metals, gold and silver. Listen up. Orion Metal Exchange is the only precious metals company that I trust. If you still haven't taken advantage of their no obligation guide, it's not too late. Give them a call today to learn more about gold and silver. Call Orion today at 1-800-912-2300. That's 1-800-912-2300. Call them now. 1-800-912-2300.
live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. Unlike home security systems that are so complicated you never use them, SimpliSafe was designed to be easy while protecting your whole home 24/7. Head to simplysafehowie.com and get free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Now, you're beginning to see a drumbeat of reasons being offered why Joe Biden can't debate Donald Trump, none of which addresses the main reason he can't debate Donald Trump, because he has dementia, thus his nickname, Dementia Joe. So last week, Karen Tumulty, who used to be on some of those chattering skull shows, I think she works for Time Magazine or one of those other semi-defunct publications, or once publications, now websites. She was saying that Joe Biden shouldn't debate him. So today there's a column in the New York Times by Tom Friedman, who is, like Charlie Baker, often wrong, but never in doubt. He says that Biden should only debate if Trump agrees to two conditions. The first condition is he releases his income tax forms for 2016, 17, and 18, like Biden has done. I think because Biden made his big score in his big scores, his $17 million years. Those were in the first couple of years after he left the vice presidency. So he cut back a little bit in terms of the greediness, left it to Hunter. So Trump has to release his tax returns. And this is the most important one. He has to agree, if the debate is an hour and a half, the last 20 minutes have to be with the fact checkers coming back and saying, and fact checking both candidates. So in other words, when Biden says, well, Joe said there were 120 million dead in COVID-19, and when they're really only 120,000 dead, but that's Uncle Joe. Everybody knows that. Donald Trump, on the other hand, said that Mar-a-Lago is in Martin County. It's in Palm Beach County. We will be presenting these crimes of these lies to a war crimes tribunal in the Netherlands. That's the kind of fact checking that would be going on here. So Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will Joe Biden actually debate President Trump?
I'm going to say no.
51% say no.
It could go either way. He may be shamed into it, but he is so far gone. I would recommend that it is better to absorb the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. It is better to remain silent and be thought senile than to open one's mouth and remove all doubt.
I see this as eventually coming down to an agreement where Joe appears virtually, and anytime he has a mental lapse, there's going to be a big red button that one of the engineers presses that says, initiate technical difficulties.
Right, right. You ever been with people who have a phone set up anytime they don't want to answer questions or they want to get out? Right. Exactly. Or sometimes, you're talking to them and they don't want to be there anymore, and suddenly the phone rings. I don't know where the button is. I never had one of those technological innovations. So let's put, just to show you, before we go back to the phone lines, let's just show you a couple of, we'll play for you a couple of cuts from Joe Biden today. Cut number 12.
Surplus military equipment for law enforcement. They don't need that. The last thing you need is an up-armored Humvee coming into a neighborhood. It's like the military invading. They don't know anybody. They become the enemy. They're supposed to be protecting these people. So my generic point is
but
that...
Do we agree that we can redirect some of the funding?
Yes, absolutely.
He called the cops the enemy. There were a couple of things in there. He called the police the enemy, and he said they're supposed to be in there protecting people. Protecting them? He has a problem with multisyllable words. He gets he mixes it. Like the other week, he was talking about infections, and he said inflections. Okay, They're not supposed to be the enemy. They're supposed to be texting people. And then we put this one in the intro. It's very simple slogan, America First. Remember that? That slogan's been around for a long time. That was the slogan of the Keep America Out of World War II movement with Senator David I. Walsh from Massachusetts and Father Coughlin and Charles Lindbergh, the first guy to fly over the Atlantic. I think Biden knew all of these people personally. He went to college with a couple of them. But he forgot the slogan, America's First, cut 13.
This guy's whole idea of America on its own is meant America alone. We're out there by ourselves.
America, America. That's his slogan. America, America. All right. 844-500-4242. Keith, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Keith.
Howie, you and I are the same age, and when we were in high school in 1969, the country was dealing with a Hong Kong flu.
Yes, it was.
And well, we were taught that the country was only 200 million people. Now we're a country of 350 million people, and we have 120,000 deaths, and all panic is breaking loose. If you were to talk to people that we grew up with and ask them what happened in 1969, the only thing they'd remember is Woodstock.
Right.
Half a million kids sitting up in the woods listening to music because the Hong Kong flu wasn't a big deal. I don't remember
any of the that double album that came out that everybody in the world bought, Keith. Remember that? There wasn't a single mention of the Hong Kong flu on any of the Sly and the Family Stone, the Grateful Dead, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix. Nobody mentioned it, did they, Keith?
Nobody mentioned that. One last thing, Howie. You were just talking about Joe Biden looking for Donald Trump's taxes.
Yes.
I'm a CPA, a retired CPA. And for 30 years, every year the president released his taxes, and we'd go over it in the office, finding the funny things and finding things like that, that were wrong. Barack Obama has yet to release his 2016 taxes.
Right. Keith, I was thinking about that myself. I was thinking about another aspect of it. His niece released this book, and she says that he had somebody else take the SATs for him, or the business school SATs, whatever it was, back, 50-plus years ago, back when even before the Hong Kong flu. That's how long ago it was when he was having these tests supposedly taken for him. Has Barack Obama ever released his SAT scores, Keith, or his LSAT scores?
He has not. But tax returns, I can give you 30 years worth of tax returns, and there's something funny about each and every one of those things.
Right.
But yet, 2016, when Barack Obama was in his last year of presidency, no one has seen that tax return. And with all the criminal activity that's gone on, one wants to think that perhaps he's getting a cut from Hillary's $145 million from Russia.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. He's getting enough money from the publisher. He and Muchel got like a $65 million advance on their books. Somebody wrote a good column today about how the next thing to be taken over or have conservatives banned from is book publishing. And, J.K. Rowling, who wrote the Harry Potter books, she's a hachette. The editors are refusing to edit, and they dropped her, I guess, or they're getting ready to drop her as her children's books, because she says that men are men and women are women. And hachette, they're the publishers of my book, Brothers Bulger. They still make a few bucks. I still make a few bucks off that. It still sells pretty well, actually. I wonder if I could get it published today. I wonder. Seriously. I mean, it wasn't named Hachette at the time. It's gone through. It went from Time Warner to Grand Central, and now it's Hachette. But it's the same company. I guess I can make more money publishing my own books, though, so I don't really care that much about it. Thanks for the call, Keith. I mentioned earlier that, I was thinking about, I heard some reference to her on one of the old-time radio shows that I listened to, Tallulah Bankhead. And so I just looked her up on Wikipedia to refresh my memory of her. And she died in 1968. And, you know, she was an alcoholic and she smoked. She had emphysema and all this stuff. It said, you know, the usual reasons for death were exacerbated by the fact that she had the Hong Kong flu. So I guess I knew of one person, now that I think about it, who died of Hong Kong flu. That was it. It wasn't a big deal. The Asiatic flu, when Keith and I were 5-6 years old, that wasn't a big deal either. That also probably killed many more people than, you know, in terms of a percentage of the population than COVID-19 did. But, you know, they're obsessed with it. It's a political weapon at this point. I think we all agree on that, don't we? Lee, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Lee.
Jonathan Lopez, writing letters Americans can't be bothered to write.
Lee, why did they have to write the letter anyway? They beat him fair and square in the primary, and then he decided to write the letter after apparently he lost the primary. You write the fake hate mail before the primary, Lee, right? Not after.
I would think, hey, listen, in 69, I was in a summer camp up in New York, upstate New York, mm-hmm. sleepover. So, I mean, everything was pretty much normal. You didn't even really, you know, nothing shut down.
Yeah. Well, there aren't any sleepover camps open in Massachusetts, I don't believe, this year, are there? I'm pretty sure there aren't.
I think they're, even if they got permission, they'd do like most of them up in New Hampshire and not open anyway. They're scared. Yeah. You know, liability, whatever. It's I really think that Charlie Parker hit his head in the driveway playing hoop at Pelotti's.
at Polito's place, at one of the keggers in late May. Yeah, I know. He's just a dope. And now we're going to play one more cut since you brought it up. This is Charlie Parker talking about. He's not even saying testing does anything. It's a psychological thing. It's, you know, when they give you a pill that doesn't work, they call it a placebo. Isn't that basically what this boils down to, Taylor? He's saying testing is a placebo to make you feel better.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so listen to this. This is cut number 17.
It will also provide people with a certain sense of comfort if they do believe that they may have been exposed or otherwise believe they need to be tested.
How can it provide comfort? If you get tested and you have it, you're scared bleepless because you don't know what's going to happen to you. If you get it, get the test and you test negative, you're just wondering when it's going to get
right.
to you because right. of the crap he's spewing.
Right. You see, this is it. He spent the last 4 months trying to convince people they're going to be dead tomorrow. And now he's saying, why don't you take a test? And, you know, one way or another, you're going to feel better after the test. Why am I going to feel better? Charlie, am I going to feel better? Because even if I test positive, I'm probably not going to get sick. And I'm almost 100% guaranteed not to die unless I'm over the age of 80 or I have underlying conditions. Well, you can't talk about that. Put that mask back on. I'm Howie Carr.
He's suave. He's debonair. He's Howie Carr.
This is Deb in Danielson, Connecticut.
This is Greg in Boston, Mass.
This is Elizabeth in Wakefield, Massachusetts, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter.
And this is going out for Jonathan Jesse Smollett Lopez.
That it came from you.
It's gonna be filled with all kinds of expletives deleted and invective against people like me, and I'm going to blame it on you, and it's too late for me to win the election, and now I'm going to be charged by the DA with a Class A misdemeanor.
All of your parodies somehow delve into the same tune.
My father used to sing that song every once in a while too. That's a great old tune. 844-500-4242. Phil, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Phil.
Hey, Pop, I just want to say I moved from Massachusetts to Winchester, New Hampshire. Separated, but it was my choice to come up here because I'm sick and tired of this Charlie Barker and Baker and whatever is. It's really frustrating what's going on, and
it is.
You know, you're the only one in the area that I can reach out to. You know what I mean?
I don't understand how he gets away with, claiming these great victories, patting himself on the back every day. I wrote about it today in my column. Number four death rate in the country and the number four unemployment rate. I mean, is that something to be, proud of, Phil? When he's got the whole state locked down, this is probably one of the two or three most locked down states in the union, and it's a disaster.
Well, I don't think I'm going to die of COVID. I'm going to die of misrepresentation here because I don't know what the heck's going on. But I will say this: those darn earplugs kept falling out every time I scratched my head because I listen on my porch, and I scratched my head, little bugs and stuff. And I'm getting Raycon. So
you got to get the Raycon. I'm telling you, the Raycons. The Raycons work really well. Just that you can ask me or Grace or her father, and we had people calling in and telling us or texting in and telling us they love their Raycons too. Thank you, Arthur. You're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Arthur.
Hey, thanks, Howie. Yeah, I don't know how anybody believes any of these politicians. They've been wrong about everything. And how do we trust any of these numbers? You know, somehow they just don't add up.
Don't add up because I do them every day, and some days they make absolutely no sense. One day, Arthur, a couple of days ago, the overall deaths in Massachusetts went up by 23, but in nursing homes they went up by 26. So how does that work? And that's not the first time that's happened. They're always switching the numbers around. They had one. There was a big spike today nationally. Yeah, Delaware added 70 in one day. Or New York and Pennsylvania, all the Democrat states are always playing around with the numbers more than anybody else. I'm Howie Carr.